When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Welcome back to the Football Rambles Guide 2, your audio encyclopedia to the weird and wonderful world of football.
A what?
An encyclopedia of football.
I don't know what that means.
I'm Marcus Speller.
Oh, I'm Vidushan Antaraja.
Oh, and I'm Pete Donaldson.
Oh! Cast your mind back to last summer.
Wembley Ignites!
2021.
Oh, we haven't seen scenes like this in a football ground for a long, long time.
It feels like an eternity away, but fans were only just starting to return to football's spiritual home, stadiums. We could finally replace Andy Brassel's cardboard cutout family with actual real fans. Football was back, football was alive again, and the stadiums were rocking. And no, I'm not talking about Soccer Moses with that daft little guitar.
A guy who's a New Testament of sorts to the passion of this fan base.
But what makes stadiums, these theatres of football, so special and so sacred? It's the fans in them, of course. But there has to be the right harmony with the stadium itself, with the terraces, with the steaming hot pies and the freezing cold seats. It's fair to say we've come a long way. When football was first taking shape as a sport in the 19th century, even the most competitive games would be played on a suitable, by which I mean vaguely flat, patch of ground at a public park, with maybe a fence or bollard along the edge to show the crowd how close they could go.
All skills learned in the park, jumpers for golfers.
It was only until 1862, 7 years after the first official football rules were drawn up, that a game was held at a stadium. Bramall Lane, which would later become the home of Sheffield United, but was a muggy little cricket ground at the time.
That's enough to put any batsman off.
On today's episode, we're going to explore some of football's most iconic homes and pick apart what makes them special, from the stands to the winding approach up to the turnstiles to the amenities. Yes, St. Pauli sausage train, we're talking about you. So download your QR code, grab your ticket stub, and come with us for the Football Rambles Guide to Stadiums.
Rally round the family with a pocket full of pies.
Oh.
It's time for the Stadiums Guide 2.
Baby, baby.
Baby,
you
baby.
Say stadiums, I say stadia.
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 Blimey O'Reilly, chaps. Yes, we love a stadium.
We do.
Do you know what?
It's where I do my best farts.
Oh, Gordon Bennett.
Ooh, not planes.
Say again?
Not planes.
Not planes? What do you mean? What, throw your paper airplanes?
No, your best farts.
Best farts? Oh, no. But I can't tell
altitude.
How good they are. Can't tell how good they are. Honestly, can't smell anything.
I'm sorry, everybody, for that start. We'll try and pick it up.
You left too much space behind in front of the back four.
You're right, it was my fault.
I exploited it.
Whenever I go into a football stadium, that walk up the stairs and when you see the pitch...
Makes you feel a bit sick. I'm thinking I'm going to have to play. It's that kind of like thing that something in your soul goes, this is big, Pete.
Yeah.
Pete, this is big. Well, shit's going to happen to
me.
You know when you're a kid and you go to stadiums and you dress in the kit?
Yeah.
Did your parents used to do that to you and you're like, look, I don't want to come on. I've not even trained this week.
No. I think I speak on the behalf of everybody else to say that moment where you walk up the stairs, you see the pitch, it's glorious. It doesn't matter which. You could have been to that stadium number of times. You walk up the stairs and you're like,
you do a little jog. You walk a little bit faster. You stand a little bit taller. It's great.
It is beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. Do you know Wrexham's racehorse ground?
And then you're in Upton Park and it's rubbish.
Upton Park is no longer with us, but we may mention that later. Now, you're going to have to behave yourself here, Peter, because I've got some facts for you. Wrexham's racehorse ground
into me, mate.
Is the oldest stadium used for football today, having been built in 1807.
Good.
All before you were born.
It was.
Before you were pumping away. And then in December 1862, Sheffield FC played Hallam FC at Bramall Lane. As I mentioned in the game, lasted 3 hours and ended 0-0.
They should have shut it down after that, shouldn't
they? And there were no penalty shootouts in those days.
Thank God they persisted.
That expression, they could have played all night and they would never score. I think it got to the point where they're not going to score. We should just probably, let's cap it at 3 hours. Of course, 99 years ago, gentlemen, Wembley Stadium hosted its first match, which was the 1923 FA Cup final, otherwise known as the White Horse final, when Bolton beat West Ham 2-0.
Sign of the times.
Before the match kicked off, there were crazy scenes with crowds of people surging into the stadium and many people ending up around and on the pitch.
You did see that a lot more back in the day, didn't you? Like the end of the pitch.
Yes.
There wasn't even a gap after the actual lines. There would just be kids and people sort of encroaching on it.
Think about those old heavy footballs. I know you may not be able to kick them as hard, but like getting one of them in the face, which would have almost certainly happened.
There wouldn't have been enough room. Wouldn't have been enough room for like you know in big stadiums, like you'll occasionally see a car, and it's advertising the car.
Yeah.
And instead of just having words to the effect of like buy this car, they just drive the car in and just pop it there.
Yeah. Well, in the 1920s, I don't think there was a lot of that going on for a number of reasons.
I was also thinking at the time, you know, they wouldn't have had substitutes. But imagine if they did and you're trying to warm up.
Yeah.
And he's like, excuse me, can I just get through? Yeah, just everyone just getting up from their seat slowly.
What a way to hinder a super sub. Or they're going to bring on Jack Grealish. Like, quickly, let's make sure he's cold when he warms up. But yeah, so obviously the match was called the White Horse Final because mounted policemen had to organise the crowd, essentially. I mean, we saw this at the Euros. Obviously last summer it was a bit of disarray. Imagine this, where you didn't have people pre-buying tickets because it was a London team.
Yeah.
You had literally hundreds of thousands of people descend on Wembley. I mean, the official capacity is 125,000.
the actual capacity. Some suggest it was even 300,000. I don't think it can be that. That's weird for old people to embellish. Indeed it is. Indeed it is. But I think it was clearly more than 125,000. Mm. But of course, the mounted policemen had to control the crowds. There was one particular image of a copper on a grey horse called Billy that captured the public's imagination. And with the old photography, black and white, it looked white. So hence the White Horse final. Apparently, after King George turned up and took his seat, the crowd started singing the national anthem, and it helped to calm everyone down.
Game of Thrones. The king has arrived.
But this is what used to happen at stadiums. Well, Wembley in particular.
Kings would be here.
But you're right, the crowds were sitting pretty much pitch side when the match took place, which all led to the government bringing in safety measures for future finals.
I know
this is like the wild frontier of football stadiums.
Like, it is a bit of an aside, but just with the way that Prince William was booed at the FA Cup final just gone.
This is your ultimate sign of the times. Yeah. And all the crowd would have been wearing the same type of outfit as well.
Yeah.
Like a sort of a Mac and a hat and that kind of thing. But attendances used to be a lot higher. I mean, apparently it was around 174,000 people who are thought to have been at the Maracanã when Brazil played Uruguay in the 1950 World Cup.
I had that as apparently the total attendance that was caught at the time was 199,854, which is even worse for me because
have a few more in there.
146 people. Come on, just count the people.
Well, but then some say it was about 210,000 to 220,000. Again, you've probably got a guy with a little clicker and he's worked his socks off, hasn't he? He's earned his money that day. But it's absolute madness how different it used to be. And I mean, we're talking, you know, that's a World Cup. Talking about an FA Cup final, you're not talking about, as you say, you know, the first game back in the day on a patch of grass in Sheffield or something like that. But gentlemen, enough of the history lesson for the moment, at least. If you had to choose, just straight off the bat, the best stadium you've ever been to, and there could be a number of reasons for this, you know, maybe the sense of history, a particular favourite place you go, the walk up to the ground, the pies, the technological advancements. Fish, best stadium or favourite stadium, perhaps? Immediately one that leaps to mind.
Ooh, it's not particularly advanced, but I've always loved Loftus Road.
Oh, that's interesting.
Blimey, okay.
Because like, of the city, kind of.
It's definitely not advanced.
No, not at all.
Loftus Road is a rare example of a stadium where, if you were trying to look for it, you can be forgiven for going, it's round here somewhere.
Yes.
Whereas, like, clearly, that's not happening at Old Trafford or something.
Yeah, like the walk from White City Station, through the estate, and then suddenly you're out there, and it's kind of open, and you walk in, and it's so enclosed.
Yeah.
And I've always liked it. I think it's because it was the first stadium I regularly went to as a kid.
Yeah, which is why you support them.
Exactly. Yeah, you super oops. That's what I say in the morning.
That's enjoyable.
When I eat my Cheerios.
But do you think though, with old grounds like that, there's a lot of that. Basically, you're talking about the history as well. And there's a bit of romance with that because it's so tightly packed in. It's a bit like with Fulham, Craven Cottage in the Johnny Haynes stand. It's a listed building for obvious reasons. But yeah, it's bloody uncomfortable with those old wooden seats.
Yeah, it is. And the thing that as I grow up I like about Loftus Road is the idea that, you know, when people talk about stage and treading the boards, you like all, as you said about history, like all the different players you've played within the confines of that. But also, you know, if we're talking about amenities at grounds, I had dim sum at Kingstonians football ground when Dulwich Hamlet were playing there.
Of course it was
out of this world. Yeah. And I was like, I want to live like this.
Yeah. Non-league in very specific parts of the country has really... In many ways, it's better than Premier League.
So my ideal day at the football will be something exciting at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium with dim sum.
With a bit of typhoon. Yeah, good.
Just being a beer in view of the actual football, I think, would be decent. Because, I mean, I really enjoyed taking the dog to Berkhamsted FC.
Did you?
Last year. That was a lot of fun. Uh-huh. Lola enjoyed attacking all of the other dogs. All had a great day out.
Just say St James's Park and get on with it.
No, were you just whispering in Lola's ear, let them know you're there.
I'd give the referee a decision to make. My kind of first ground was probably Hartlepool United, and Hartlepool United's ground is great because it is, you know, relatively, I think it's like 8,000, 10,000 people allowed in. That's the capacity. Mm. And they're getting up there now they're back in the league. But they all around the ground, on the fences. At every kind of, at the end of every sort of fence, they've got like spikes with footballs. Oh, spikes. Like, as if to say,
previous
no
games?
Football have we played here. It's like sort of going like to warn other footballs.
I thought like every match they win, it's like we've conquered this match.
Yeah.
And we get
and
the match ball.
Put them back and put it on a spike. Yeah. Like Game of Thrones. Yeah.
It is a bit Game of Thrones, yeah. Even though I've never seen an episode still. and that's a policy I have. Yeah. But football, of course, has moved from sort of terraces to four separate stands, which was a kind of classic British stadium. And then, you know, in the houses, it very much in the communities, the old working class communities, whereas now a lot of them are kind of like arenas, like bowls, aren't they? Some of them have moved out. You think of somewhere like Derby County, for example, you know, moved to the edge of the city. And now we have, you know, safe standing that people are very keen on, because obviously, again, with the old terraces, you had a lot of standing, and people who knew and who watched football back in those days, you know, long for the days where you can stand at football matches and so on. But when all-seater was brought in, it was obviously a safety thing after Hillsborough and so on and so forth. Cardiff City, Manchester United, Man City, Chelsea and Spurs all trialled safe standing from January until the end of the season. So we shall see if that comes back.
It seems to be very slow, this sort of old thing coming in. Because, I mean, they've had these proposals for a long time. They've definitely got the tech to know how many people are in a particular quadrant of the ground. It seems weird that it's taken so very long.
There is something about standing at football. I mean, I know that there's certain away fans. Certainly when I go to Craven Cottage, you always stand. Most of the away fans do.
And they get that fine pretty much every week.
Yeah. That's true. And you get the message on the loudspeaker system saying, would you please sit down, and then you get the certain gestures and all that kind of stuff. But during the, talking about the wild frontier of football, you know, during the Euros in the semi-final and the final at Wembley, everyone was stood. Now, certainly for the semi-final, there was a little bit more room because it was, you know, perhaps they hadn't had the capacity in. And there was something about watching the game standing up, which it does add to it, I think.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And I think, you know, you touched on something really interesting there, just from what we were talking about the previous FA Cup final, because I think the attitude towards stadiums, the reason they had this advancement is a little bit of health and safety, but also a sense that, you know, they kind of want everyone accounted for in terms of, we want you all buying a ticket and paying us money to do so.
Yeah.
Because at a different time, what happened at Wembley last year will be regaled as, oh, and you should have seen them. Everyone snuck in.
Yeah.
Everyone wanted a view of England in a final. It was such a romantic time of year.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing that we don't talk about it like that, or rather we won't talk about it like
that.
But I do find it intriguing that, like,
I see what you mean.
The nature of what it is to go and watch football now has changed, really, hasn't it? And like, stadiums are part of that, because
Well, but
I suppose, you know, so we're going to talk about it a bit later, but you know, things like Hillsborough are a great example of like why everything is the way it is, has to be the way it is now. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Pete, it was a look when you sort of jokingly around said about Hartlepool, the people who they let in. I mean, it kind of is like that now. You know, you have to prove yourself to kind of get in sort of a weird way, because they're almost quite fortified stadiums for obvious reasons, you know. And
but they still go wrong, these modern
stadiums. Well, of course, like, but Stade de France, Wembley, you know, two of the biggest, and hosted some of the biggest matches ever. I mean, Stade de France obviously was a fairly new stadium for the World Cup in France. But do you think, changing tack slightly, do you think history is an important part of a stadium? Because with stadiums now changing to that sort of the bowls, and, you know, you think, say, compare like Highbury to the Emirates, for example, or the bowling ground to the London Stadium. I mean, I know that's a particular example. Or Atletico Madrid, you know, I went to the Vicente Calderon Stadium, and now they've got the Wanda Metropolitana or whatever it's called. People, the new stadiums are undoubtedly better in terms of technology, in terms of the seating. It has to be. You'd have to seriously mess that up. You know, the new Wembley is better than the old Wembley.
I visited the San Siro a couple of years ago, and I did a wee while watching the football.
Yes.
So, because one of the walls had fallen down.
No, but San Siro is now, I mean, that was fairly newish, what, in the 80s or for the 1990 World Cup?
I'm not saying it's a feature that should continue. I shouldn't be able to see the pitch and watch the football while I'm urinating.
And no one watching the football should be able to watch you urinate.
Exactly.
I think we can all agree. Yeah. But that's...
You accidentally caught the eye of a Milan player, like,
is that Pete Donaldson?
Is he pissing? Is he looking at me and pissing?
But I think, do you think though that the new stadiums, you know, because if QPR say moved ground, it wouldn't be where they couldn't have it where, I know they're not talking about a new ground, but they couldn't have it where they would if they moved to a slightly further place away from that home, and it was a bowl like, and it wasn't what you were talking about. Would you think that takes away the romance of it?
Like, it does, but I don't think that's a bad thing.
Right.
I don't think you totally get rid of the romance for that. And I think what happens is, you know, people are starting to put a bit more thought into these new stadiums and trying to make it more like home.
So Spurs have done that.
Yeah, say. I think Spurs have done that very well in terms of
have West Ham
not
done
losing
that well?
Their history. Well, the thing about the West
no,
Ham,
but it wasn't built by them.
But if you look at the acquisition of the stadium, it was shambolic.
Sure. So it's not one we should use as an example.
Yeah.
But what do you think, Peter? When you see, you know, these old grounds. So again, Fulham, take Fulham. People love going to Craven Cottage.
Yeah.
Because of the sense of history. But what if Fulham, they have an owner who could afford a new stadium and all the rest of it. They moved somewhere
He'll
else.
He'll spend it on wrestlers.
He will spend it on wrestlers. But if they moved and you didn't have Craven Cottage and you had a little mini bowl-like stadium, something like, say, the Majeski at Reading, that kind of size, that kind of feel.
But like London, I guess teams in London and kind of quite built up areas, they kind of have to stay where they are because it's just really hard. Look at how difficult West Ham found it.
But what do you think?
Newcastle, there's talk of Newcastle moving. There's talk of Newcastle.
Sure, but in terms of the do you think that, you've always got to stay and preserve where you are, or this idea of moving is a bad one?
I think stadiums can have their own character. They don't always have to conform to that kind of like late 90s identikit kind of ball
training.
Okay. Remember when like Darlington as a football club got destroyed by, I can't remember his name. Reynolds, I think his name was. Safe cracker. He was a convicted safe cracker, I believe. But when he tried to sign Tino Asprilla and he bought a new stadium and it was like a 20,000 stadium when they were getting 3,000, 4,000 people through the door, that ruined that club and they never recovered. Like they've got a Phoenix club now and things are looking a bit brighter. But they ruined Darlington FC, who are an all right, you know, punchy third division, fourth division club. And but the design of it was the most horrific thing for me because they just made like it looked like the cell net, the Middlesbrough ground, or and they just made it smaller and it just looked like they just all look the same. I think there's a way of doing it, and like you say, I think Spurs have done a cracking job.
They have, and I think sometimes it depends on where the club is and what they're doing. Look at Brentford for example. I'm sure Brentford fans, they would maybe miss the old ground, but actually moving to a new stadium and obviously nearly coinciding with getting to the Premier League, it's like we're going places.
Yeah,
actually, this is very nice indeed. But Spurs, though, their south end is the largest single tier stand in the country, 34.1 metres high. Although this is an interesting one, Western Sydney Wanderers in Australia, their new stadium has stands at the steepest allowable angle of 34 degrees, making it the world's steepest stadium.
That's a I mean, you're going to fall down.
Would you be like, I want to jump forward and see how many rows?
You could just sort of ski down it, couldn't you?
I think that's incredible.
Yeah.
Do you like being up high?
I'm trying to think what the one that's sort of giving me the nosebleed, probably the Nou Camp. Wasn't that?
Oh, my goodness. Back row in the Nou Camp.
And everyone was on bifters. So I was like just getting like a legal, like a kind of
peanuts
passive
and,
high and stuff.
Peanuts and marijuana.
Yeah.
Mexico club. It was unbelievable, wasn't it?
But and the back of the stand, and we spoke about this before, not a very high wall. You could just fall off it.
And you and I are not the tallest. And I remember thinking, I can get my armpit on that. What if you're like 6'4" or something?
What
you
if the wall falls? Oh, good God.
Oh, dear. If you've got the bottle, go to the back row at the Nou Camp. Only if you've got the bottle. But the Nou Camp is one of those great iconic stadiums, of course, that when you see it, you're just like, oh my goodness. And when you're there, I've been a couple of times. You go in there and you just cannot be blown away by it. Do you know what I mean? So of views outside of grounds, though, and I think this is often not spoken about enough because the Nou Camp but the Bernabeu is there again. I'd probably say the Bernabeu in terms of the quality of the stadium is better than the Nou Camp. I don't think too many people would argue with that.
Yeah.
But again, though, it's a type of ground where you go and you just walk in, and Jim said this on a recent ramble, I think. You just walk in, you'd be like, I want to play here. Like if I was anybody, like, you know, like Lukaku when he walked around Stamford Bridge at Chelsea, like, oh my goodness, this is great.
That, if I was Lukaku, I did like watching going to Stamford Bridge. I think that's a very underwhelming football league.
I was thinking that.
I think relative to where he was coming from in Belgium and so on.
He's played FIFA, you know.
It's a different one.
But wait, is there a stadium that's like genuinely taking your breath away, Vish?
Yeah, last year the Allianz Arena. Covered
what a game.
The quarterfinal between Belgium and Italy.
Yeah.
And like,
that's a new stadium.
Yeah.
Relatively speaking, because they used to play the year.
Speaking about breath, it inflates. You know, it's an inflated.
Yeah. Everyone needs it. They're encouraged.
Your breath, yeah.
Encouraged.
Yeah.
But because they were at the Olympic Stadium, of course.
Yeah, and it was just the way that you know, being a journalist, you walk in and you've got this sense of like, I've got to take everything seriously. I'm not going to act like I've just won a competition. And I got in as like, I am taking photos of everything.
Yes.
I just love German asset management.
Well, it was also, you know, the Hertha Berlin Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I was like, God, this is a remarkable, remarkable place. And then I started really up about it. I was like, ooh.
It's not... History, not always a good thing.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Bringing it back down to earth, what about Luton Town's Kenilworth Road, giving the away fans a very unique experience where they have to walk down a very small alleyway and pretty much through people's back gardens? And you're like, where is it? And you walk through a door and it's like, oh, there's the pitch, here we are, aren't we? It's like, you know, them pubs, you know, with their sort of a little back door and you walk in, you're always a bit... like that in a football ground. It feels like you've just been let into a... I would say a members club, but a members club would suggest it was quite fancy.
Well, it's a little bit
Stringfellow.
Yeah, it's a little bit like Millwall, though, isn't it? Because they have to protect the visiting fans. Mm. So you're coming through, like, it's like fucking Green Street, like you're under a balcony and stuff, because people throw stuff.
Yeah, those sort of... or on the...
Great recycling centre, though.
Or on the underground in London when... is it at Highbury, where they have the away fans can be funnelled down that?
Yeah.
It's weird to see that.
That was my station when I...
I think it's
that's why they built it. We're like, give Pete Donaldson his own little...
But then at the end...
Speedy typical
Islington. Little library.
Yeah.
Library on the library.
Calm them down. Hand out the
give them an asterisk.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Lose Obelix, his fat cunt.
Oh, there's no need for that. You've already touched on this, Vish. Best food you've had at a stadium? Other than the dim sum?
Other than the dim sum?
And you're a journalist, so presumably you've heard... You've got involved at Stamford Bridge, where
Stamford Bridge is good. But
Philippe Auclair once described the food and the buffet at Stamford Bridge as mythical.
I think it's an outrageous thing for a French man to say.
Yeah,
it's okay, but it's not that good.
I think it also actually reinforces the fact that maybe you don't know as much as you think. You know,
what is it? What is in the buffet?
I think honestly, it's nothing special.
No, but I think for the top tier journalist, Peter.
There's a little room they go to.
Yeah.
A foie gras train.
No, but if you're at a certain level, like if you go to a box at Highbury, which I may have done a couple of times.
Oh, you're demanding lapsang.
Yeah.
They're giving you English breakfast.
It's all good food. But if you're talking, yeah, but White Hart Lane though, rest in peace, scampi and chips.
Love that.
I'll take that.
Tottenham Hotspur Stadium food is very good. Man City Stadium is very good.
But are you talking about as a fan or a journalist now?
A journalist.
As
yeah.
a journalist, it should be.
No, it should be.
They want to butter you up so you get you give them a good report. Yeah, they lost 4-0, but they tried.
In terms of like for a fan, I think, you know, weirdly, I think you get better food at non-league grounds, not least because of the price, but also because like, they try things a bit more.
Yeah. Well, I think you've got something. You're maybe on something there.
They do have to scale, do they?
Exactly. Yeah, great point.
Well, study last year named Aston Villa as the best food, as the best for food and overall fan experience across a selection of stadiums in Europe.
Jesus,
Steven Gerrard effect.
I think I can't remember which club it was in the Midlands. It might have been Wolves, but apparently they do a naan wrap.
Oh, nice!
Like a Jeek hero.
Yeah,
but. With naan and Indian food.
A gyros, you mean?
Is that gyros? Yeah. Sorry. And it's apparently stunning.
Oh, I bet it is.
And there are loads of places just outside of grounds that do amazing food. So, for example, there's a really great Chinese place. I think it's a Chinese place outside the Emirates. Mm. But there is a stunning jerk chicken place.
Mm. Palace.
Like around the corner from Palace. Yeah.
Nice.
Pete knows.
Soho's Park,
I just don't eat. There's just not enough jerk in my life. I'm a massive jerk, but it's just like...
Yeah, there's a joke in there somewhere.
Yeah. There was a Van Frekofu near Tokyo.
Come on.
Delicious octopus balls.
I thought you were going to say, they do a good burger.
Okonomiyaki.
They do fish and chips.
But again, when you've got a small ground, it's easier to sort of tit about a bit.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's fair.
Been in the old game myself, working at Filbert Street,
on the old pork.
So.
Yeah, you know what makes good food at a stadium. Mm. One of our all-time favourites was, of course, St Pauli's sausage train.
Ramble legend,
I mean, it's a small train delivering hot sausages straight from the kitchen to the VIP section every 5 minutes.
Whoa!
Cool, you'd be stuffed, wouldn't you?
Better than any train we've got in this country.
But it was more regular.
Yeah.
Would you just like try and, you know, in like cartoon westerns where they like redo the track?
Yeah.
And they like twisting it around and say, the train keeps going through and you just got it into your mouth.
I could just see Mick Lynch and everybody. No, don't turn up to work. What a man. Well, gentlemen.
Tying Kay Burley to the sausage train tracks.
With a little moustache going, wah-ha-ha.
Oh, dearie me. Well, chaps, food at a football ground is important. Although the trouble is it costs so much bloody money. You'd be better off going to the places that you chaps just mentioned pre-match, of course. What does the future look like for football stadiums? I mean, technology is going to change stadiums, of course, and how fans engage with matches. Screens by every seat displaying highlight videos and live stats has long been mooted.
I love that.
But the funny thing is though, it's like, what more when some of these things are suggested, it's like, what more do you want to squeeze out of this experience?
Yeah.
It's like, unless you go on the field yourself and play.
They just want to sort of like put nose plugs on you so you can't smell the grass.
Yeah,
you just
know,
can't, like,
yeah.
Just take everything out.
Well, to me it was ridiculous. Where I can't remember if it was at Spurs and or Man City where you had that VIP club, which cost thousands to be a part of. And one of the quirks was you could see the players lining up in the touchline. And it's just like, not touchline, in the tunnel.
Yeah.
And it's like, does that really, does that add an extra 10% on your match going experience?
Well, I mean, you're closer than you're going to be when you're out there watching them on the field. I don't know.
The concept of it is quite grim, isn't it? Because you're going to see them on the field. And it's like, would you like to be a bit closer to them? They won't acknowledge you. They won't even know you're there.
Yeah.
Would you like to be that little bit closer to them?
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Like how much do you love
brothel?
Yeah. No touching. You can't touch Eric Dyer. There's another room for that.
We can attach something to him, and he has to like run around with you like on a sidecar. Like, what is next? Do you know what I mean? It's absolute bollocks.
Because there's a thing they do for if you've got to be a long away trip and you there's a group of fans who can't go. Sometimes they open your stadium and you can go and watch the game in your home stadium, which is a very nice community thing to do.
Yes.
And this is like the bastardization of that, like what they're trying to do with. Everything else.
But that's it. So holographic representations of the real players on the pitch. Well, it could be a thing.
Well, someone pointed out on Twitter, I think, and thanks for everyone who got in touch on that, where they pointed out that a couple of hockey teams have done it, where they have done a kind of like overhead projection on the home ice rink. Do you call it the ice rink? The pitch?
The rink.
And they basically have a representation as a view, and they basically show you what's happening on the field if you were there kind of for away matches. Wow. So you can sort of see the hockey players kind of like skid around. Is it skidding? Skating.
Yeah.
Skating around. Skidding. Hitting that ball puck into that little bug goal and then having a punch.
I've never realised, actually, because of just watching a bit of NHL, that actually they're all just in the process of falling.
Yeah, that's right.
Shit!
Yeah, lucky they've got sides to it, otherwise they just skate off.
It's a lovely idea.
Well, Japan's original 2022 World Cup bid promised that games would be broadcast in holograms, provided the technology would make it possible.
That's a good shout, isn't it?
That's not a promise, is it?
Provided.
It's not ready.
Provided the world doesn't let us down again.
I will be paying my mortgage.
Yeah, indeed.
Provided, you know, someone gives me a lot of money.
I mean, talking about trying to immerse yourself in the match day experience, you know, like at the end of the day, like, I know we all want to be footballers, but clearly the vast majority of us will never be. They'll just be happy that you're in the ground watching the match. But there's even been talk of fans in the stadium being able to dictate what happens on the pitch by voting on substitutions through their smartphone.
I can't think of anything. I mean, more wonderful.
Yeah. Subkeeper up front. Everybody, come on. You would, though. Last day of the season, it would be ridiculous.
No, you say that, but all that will happen is that a player will be called like Football McFootface.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well done.
To be fair, like, that would give us
some
good
The North Koreans would hack it.
Yeah.
We'd be ruined.
And then I don't know, Marina Hyde will write a column. And we'll just, everything just goes in that weird circle, doesn't it?
What's an innovation you'd like to see, though, chaps?
Ooh.
Knives? No.
Knives. Well, they've already had the football through the spikes, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
I think you should be allowed to control how hot the under pitch heating is.
So, well, like, players are a bit static.
At any point, you could just, or how much water is in the ground. So, at any point, worms could arrive.
I think that you're.
And everyone's slipping on worms and water.
I think the one about the heat's quite good, because if you suggest a player's being a bit lazy,
make
him dance.
Heat, yeah.
You sound like a really nice thing, like a nice version of what Bane did in that Batman film.
Yes.
What a beautiful voice.
What you say in that Batman. He's only in that.
He is.
That's
the
character.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Actually, well, no, he's in the original.
Yeah, but he's
with
still
one
in Batman.
One of Val Kilmer.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. But what is the one in? Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Who plays him?
I don't know. Some
dude. Some chump. Some
Jeff
idiot.
Capes. I don't know.
Venom again.
Good reference. But what would you like to see at stadium, innovation wise?
So are you saying from a fan experience point of view, or
just
like an amenities point of view?
Not from a player's point of view.
If you ask the player, they'd be like, I would like all the fans to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I want them. I know you all want to be on top of the pitch. Yeah. I want you further still.
Honestly, behind closed doors, great fun. Loved it.
Yeah.
I mean, have we explored the whole kind of like hanging people from the rafters of the of the pitch?
Look, footballs on spikes was one thing, Peter.
Hey, look, the size you've taken over. My club, I'm getting involved. Public displays.
So, what do you mean? So, are you talking about people like sat on the beams?
So, the picture
of the workers in New York back in the day.
Yeah, everyone sort of sat on girders, sort of looking down, and just have like a 360, well, a 180. It would almost be 360.
Yeah.
Kind of, so you can sort of look down, yeah.
You'd have to be strapped in. I mean,
you would have to be strapped in.
Yeah,
is that unsafe seating? It's called. You have to sign something before you go up there.
In tall buildings where they have that thick glass that you can stand on and look all the way down.
Yes, like have a bit of that. Lovely.
On top of the pitch.
Yeah. People just lying, like vomiting up, spilling pizza on the glass.
That is the next thing, but it wouldn't be standing. It would be a swimming pool. So you could swim and watch the game or something. Mind you,
you'd have to swim to the bottom of the pool to see the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have a big snorkel on. Come on.
You've not thought about this.
I have. Because Fulham have got a swimming pool.
Yeah, but you don't have to swim to the bottom to view it, do you?
No, I know, but I'm saying that, you know, scuba it up and you're away.
It's only Michael Phelps to be able to watch the football.
Yeah.
He doesn't even really like it.
Those with big feet.
Yeah.
Can watch the football.
Really should get distracted. He'd be looking at the ladies in bikinis.
Have you seen them there?
Well, we did get some listener suggestions on Twitter.
Right.
James Tomlinson has said, an injector... I think he might mean an ejector seat installed in the director's box so we can fire rogue and deceitful owners into oblivion.
That's just general club admin, though, isn't it? That's not necessarily stadium-centric.
No, but I think that's good. If clubs were fan-owned, you could put that in. You'd be like, welcome, by the way, you mess up, we're going to play. We're going to press this little red button. And you're off into oblivion. And you'll never be seen again.
The Maracanã was featured in the video game Max Payne 3. Just a massive shootout. Max threaten them with that.
How about that? I've been to the Maracanã.
So have I in Max Payne 3.
Have you? It's the same experience.
Max Payne 3, the game?
Yeah.
Yeah, the game's better than the movie.
What about real life?
What, real life?
Yeah.
What, Max Payne the real life?
No, I'm saying going to the stadium
in real life. His wife and children were killed.
Yeah.
That's why he's so angry.
This is all news to me, ladies and gentlemen.
But that's also why he
I don't even know who Max
uses
Payne
that
is.
Pain to slow time down.
So is that why he's called Max Payne?
Yeah,
he's got
Max.
Right, now
he's all maxed
sense.
Out. That's why
Chris Williams says, not my team, but dogs only stand at Emirates. With Gunnosaurus delivering Bonio via a converted T-shirt cannon.
Look, I'm all for that.
That's lovely.
There was a lovely women's friendly, I think, and it between Chile and someone else. And there was the best dog situation happening recently. It was so good. The dog would not fuck off, but he was just having the best time.
Yeah.
Just on his belly, right, properly having the best time. It was great.
I think that's the other thing we should...
More dogs.
You know, with whatever modern stadium situation we have now... We need to leave like a little, I don't know, maybe it's like a cat flap or
a
something.
A dog flap, yeah.
Where animals can come in and run on the pitch.
Like if the game's a bit boring, release the hounds.
Those big fucking locusts in Brazil, remember that? Was that Brazil World Cup?
No, you mean the Euros final in France.
Oh, was
that was Stade de France again. That's
that locust?
Yeah, massive fucking things.
Yeah. No, we don't want that. Well, maybe.
No.
Enrico simply says, a clean shitter in the Aviva would be a lovely addition.
Oh, that's smashing.
Toilets in some stadiums, most stadiums.
Yeah.
Oh,
honking.
It's like, and it's a proper, like, you know, cattle, you know, sort of herding in and out kind
Spelzy.
Of experience.
Me and you.
Yeah.
Championship playoff final.
I had a little piss joust, didn't I?
A little piss joust with the boy in the cubicle.
I pissed in the same bowl.
Yeah.
As a much larger and older. And definitely more harder. Well, not in that sense. Middlesbrough fan.
Harder to wee.
Well, he said, because, we were queuing up. This was at Wembley, of course. Mm. We were queuing up and it was huge queues and the game was kicking off soon.
Mm.
And I think, we'd been chatting away for whatever reason, as one does strike up conversation in a toilet queue. And he went, come on in here with me sort of thing. And I'm thinking, and you know when, like, your integrity as a bloody bloke is being questioned, you think,
I will go on that cubicle with that man.
And he went, come on, I'm not going to have a look at your willy. And I went, all right then, as long as you promise. And no, we went in and he was pissing away. And I thought, I have to comment on this. And I just went, oh, you've been storing that up, haven't you?
Don't make it weird.
Yeah.
Lovely stuff.
I know. We still keep in touch. There we are, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Rambles Guide 2. We'll be back with plenty more of these throughout the summer. And we want you to tell us what you'd like us to chat about. Remember, if you want considered, well-researched and thoughtful analysis about all corners of our beautiful game, we are the only place you should come to. Let us know. Show at footballramble.com or tweet us at Football Ramble with your suggestions. See you next time.
Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.